Man, this has been a real appropriate book for us, because here we are living in Laodicea and experiencing very similar things that, you know, and history does repeat itself, doesn't it? That's what the Bible tells us, to read the Old Testament, because everything that happened in the Old Testament, they happen for examples and a purpose for us. So we need to get after it, you know. So, you know, of course, we find out that Nehemiah, he's living it pretty well in the palace. I say pretty well. His job can be dangerous, but he's living there while years before, a generation before, actually, Zerubbabel and Ezra take a group of people and they go back to rebuild the temple that was destroyed. See, Babylon took over Israel and they just destroyed and scattered everywhere. Well, once Persia dominated Babylon, they gave them a lot more freedom. So here Israel is in their city with the temple built. But, you know, at this point, they had to do what's right, and all the wives and the way they lived, they got rid of their wives that weren't part of the nation of Israel. And so no walls got built. The job kind of ended there. If you read the book of Ezra, it ends on like, man, these guys, a lot of them made some hard decisions, but now they're under a cloud of darkness, man, a depression. And they're still being dominated by Persia, even though Persia is pretty nice. And we've been talking a lot about that, because sometimes people think just because you don't have an issue with heroin that, you know, you're doing okay. You know, just because your marriage is intact, you feel like, you know, things are fine. And yet that's not always the case. Sometimes it's just Persia. You know, sometimes we think the enemy is awful. And if you look at history, read the Bible, look at what's coming up. Matter of fact, the Bible says the Antichrist is going to come on the scene and he's going to come and deliver peace. And everybody takes it. And I see Christians today that do the same thing. They're just, well, I'm at peace about this. Well, God bless your little heart. Maybe it's because Persia's dominating your life instead of Babylon. We got to really watch that thing. Is, you know, we talked about even like last week, the ugliness of sin. Man, we really got to label that thing and mark it, right? And the Bible says mark that and get rid of it in our lives. And so Nehemiah is like, how are things back home? And his friend come back and said, it's bad. Things are bad there, man. The walls are down. The gates are burned up with fire. So we're in trouble. The reproach is of Persia, the reproach of the world is all over us. And so he prays. He cries out to God. And we spent quite a bit of time on that prayer. That is actually in chapter 2. You know, we enter chapter 2. He prays this great prayer in chapter 1. He comes out. And what was private now becomes public. And last week we talked about Nehemiah's countenance. And we talked about our countenance. And a lot of us can just be phony. We can hide that. But our countenance says a lot, doesn't it? The countenance of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is like the sun. And that's what we should be. We're supposed to be sunlight in a dark world. So we're in Nehemiah chapter 2. And in verse 1, it says that all this private pain kind of becomes public. You know, the king looks at him. And the king says this in verse 2. The king said, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? The first question the king asks is, why? The second question he'll ask is, as they talk and they're having this dialogue, it says in verse 4, then the king said to me, for what dost thou make requests? So first question he asks is, hey, why? And then he asks a what question. Of course, this is where immediately the insta prayer, you know, Nehemiah jumps and says, Lord, please. And then he just says, I know I need to go build this place. And then as they're still having this dialogue, the king and the queen then come in and said, verse six, and the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. So then basically he asked a when question. So I guess I just want you to know something. I like the way this is ordered, because the king says, why? Then he says, what's the request here? And then they say, and when are you going to return? That's a very good outline for you and me. And yes, today I want to give you some words that start with the letter P, just so we can remember that. And basically, I think the first thing we need to look at is the word purpose. The word purpose. The king said, why? Why is your countenance sad? You know, it didn't say, hey, what happened to you? What's your plans? And there's a guy out there that this guy don't claim to be a Christian. His name's Simon Sinek. He writes books, and I think all of his stuff, all of his books, and I listen to him. He's a real good dude. He's a kind of a psychologist, does a lot of sociology type of things. And he wrote a book called Start With Why. And he said, this is the problem with most people. They don't know the why. They don't really have a real purpose. You know, if we start with why, the why would mean that we really have a belief. It's something that we have inside that can go out. That's how we're supposed to live our lives. Basically, you and me should be driven by a cause. And we get mad at little children for asking this question a lot because they, and we always hit spots with kids when they're like, why? And then you answer them. And then based upon your answer, they say, why? Why? And it always hits a spot where we sit back and go, I don't have an answer for this. Well, and it's maybe because we haven't sat with the why long enough in our lives and figured this thing out. So, guys, we should be driven by a cause. A lot of believers today, they live life with no purpose. Basically, this would be our belief. This is why people in history that lived this way, basically the bullseye was the why. A lot of companies reverse this, and it doesn't work very well for them. This is a good marketing strategy, by the way. And if you know your why, then you begin to do your deal. There's several great examples of this in history. But I just want you and me as believers in Jesus Christ, it's not just what we do. It's not even how we do it. It's why we do it. So let's reverse this thing. Let's switch it in this morning and saying, why are we here, man? Why are we doing this? Then we can talk about how we're going to do it and what we're going to do. Then we can push that thing and reverse it. But make sure that bullseye is the why, that we really have a purpose, that we really have a belief. This is why a lot of people, they've taken the test. They figured this is what they need to do for a living. They're going to do it. They're going to get married. Their lives are going to lead them to a spot where they're making the money they wanted to. They had the job they wanted to. And then one day, they'll literally say, why am I so depressed? If you would have figured out the why years ago, you'd be in better shape. It's a purpose and a belief that you lack. It's a purpose and a drive. What we created for. People don't like to investigate this thing. And so you could be doing a lot of good things, but if you don't know the why behind it, then you're in deep trouble. And this king was wise enough to say, and why is your countenance sad? Why are you in this position? And he knew right away, because things are a waste. The city is absolutely destroyed. Well, then what do you need? He said, I need to go rebuild it. That's what I'm going to do. And then basically he starts asking him, like, how's this going to happen? We need a time frame here. And then he begins to tell him, hey, I need a letter from you because I need to get some lumber from the governors and the pieces and parts. And then I'm going to be able to do this thing. So the why. Back in the 2016 Olympics, at age 23, there's a lady, Madeline. And I don't know how to say her last name. She was a swimmer. It's D-I-R-A-D-O. So I always want to say Dorado, and then I look, and it's kind of put the emphasis on the R. So I don't know. Let me call her Madeline, okay? You can look her up if you want to. But she had just missed qualifying for the 2012 Olympics, and everyone like knew this, and including her. And so this was going to be her last chance for the next Olympics. And she would be different events, the 400-meter medley, the 200-meter medley, and the 200-meter backstroke. But anyway, she credited for pushing her to try out for the Olympic team. And while this was her goal, we learned from her it was not her purpose. Yahoo Sports did an interview on her, and they said they were asking her about her goals and her purpose. And she says, I don't think God really cares about my swimming very much because this is not my end purpose, to make the Olympic team. When asked what she thinks God does care about as she prepares for Rio, Madeline replied this, I think God cares about my soul and whether I'm bringing his love and mercy into the world. Can I be a loving, supportive teammate? Can I bless others around me in the same way that God has been so generous to me? She said, this is my purpose. And you know what's beautiful about this, too, is she medaled. She medaled actually four times in these Olympics. My point in giving you her story is she just wasn't a person that had some goals. And goals are important. She had the why down. She knew her purpose. And this is what we need to do. So why? Just like your little child would ask you that question, I think we need to ask ourselves this too. Why? You know, if you can't get the why, you might figure out you don't even need to be in church. If you don't have really the drive and the purpose, you'll have no motivation for it. What is, why come? I mean, so work this thing. Something else I want to point out here is in Nehemiah, basically after the king says, why is your countenance sad? What is your request? And then the next thing they say is with the queen, how long shall thy journey be and when wilt thou return? Then he said, so it pleased the king to send me. And I set him a time. Let me talk to you about time. Because if you really have a purpose, then it's going to require you and me to do something with our time. And what it's going to require is us to figure out what the Bible says about it. We just in our Bible Institute did a session on scheduling, planning, and our time. And it's really important that they look, this kind of accountability, the accountability is saying, okay, let's talk about this thing. Like, how long's your journey going to be and when are you going to return? I mean, start laying out this journey, and then at the very end of the thing, when will you be back? And it says at the end of verse 6, so I set him a time. Guys, a lot of things in our life do not get accomplished because we don't set a time. Guys, it is real. Scheduling and life and all that stuff, when you hear about it, it's really simple. You know, it's kind of like everything in life. Have you ever noticed most answers in life are just incredibly simple, but they're very, very difficult to do. And practically, I like to give you a few tidbits here, but the Bible says time is short. So we don't have much time. And before you know it, you'll be 40, you'll be 50. Kids are kind of grown up and you'll think, this is not really what I intended it to be. This is not how I envisioned it. Well, because you didn't know the why, if you have a real why and a real purpose and a real belief, then you're going to have to put some details to this thing. You're going to have to schedule out your journey and say, and this is when it's going to get accomplished. And we know that stuff flexes, right? But it's just a discipline that it's kind of like saying, you know, God's going to lay something on my heart. Well, if you'll not take the discipline to schedule this thing out. And that's why most people spell love, you know, like, man, I really love my wife. How do you spell love? And I say, well, L-O-V-E. I graduated the second grade. I actually went to the spelling bee back then. L-O-V-E. Well, if you'd ask my wife how she spells time, love, she would spell it time, T-I-M-E. And it's true. The things we love or the purpose that we really will have, we will make sure that we put time into it. And so he did. He had to set up time. This is called accountability. Who likes that? You know, once you do that type of stuff, you got to go public with it, right? And so just know that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7 that time is short. Your life's like a vapor, the book of James says. And you'll open your eyes up one day and say, when, what happened? I thought this would look be different by now. Well, for those of you that are younger in your marriage or you got younger kids, now's the time. Now is the time. Chart out this journey. Put an end on it. The things you want to accomplish, the things you want to do. Psalms 90 and verse 12 says, Lord, teach us to number our days. You know, this year is, you feel like after COVID, like the year just came on us and we're just assuming this year is going to be so much better. It's not going to be better if you don't sit down with the calendar and say, this is how it's not. You cannot say things will be different and you continue to live life the same. If this makes you feel any better today, this year is almost one third gone already. One third over. Our lives are moving fast. So time is short, right? So if time is short, we know that, guys, we got to be a little bit more intentional about living. You can't keep coming home from work and sitting down. You can't keep coming home from work and turning on the TV. You cannot keep coming home from work and saying, hey, what are we going to eat tonight? Well, you're going to eat junk. That's what you're going to eat. Because nobody sat down and did any sort of planning. People just say, oh, it's so difficult. You know, it's only difficult here. Really. Once you sit down and 15 minutes later, you're like, boy, that was easy. You know, and before you know it, you'll run through every drive-through and every grocery store every night, you know, just to kind of get this thing done. And so just to encourage you a little bit, if you know your why, then if you really learn what's important, then you can live what's important. But you've got to go through this process and learn it. So, and I'm a big guy, you know, I think the why, and this is why Martin Luther King did so great, because, you know, he never stood off the people and just said, hey, I got a great big plan for everybody. Listen to my great plan. He never did that. You know, he came out, and there was a lot of people that were upset back then. There was a lot of the civil rights movement. There was a lot of people fired. There was a lot of people that could speak and were passionate, all that type of stuff. But he decided that he was going to live out, and he stood up in front of everybody and told them, I have a dream. And here's what I see. And he was willing to give his life, and he did, for this great cause. And what a dent he did make in history. You know, we need some more people like him. See, when he figured out the why, then he was able to live that out. And so what you have to do, this is simple. This is real practical. Somebody would say, I'm not sure, is there a Bible verse for that? Well, I got 17 Bible verses that can give principles about time. But no, this is just a method that works. And I do it all the time. And I showed the guys in the Institute how we do it too. It's just this simple. For instance, let me just pick an event in the church, like, you know, Vacation Bible School. We got the marriage treat. Do you know the vision conference? That vision conference that happens in November? You know, at the beginning of the year, all of a sudden I sit down with a piece of paper and I literally just say, what do we want our vision conference to be like? I'm just like, well, I guess we need a good speaker, right? You want a special speaker? Matter of fact, I'd like to have Brian Clark again. So I just wrote it down on a piece of paper. Then I'm like, what else do we need? Man, somebody cooks meals, because we have daytime sessions on like a Monday, Tuesday. So I'm like, we better look at food. You know, people set up and clean all the time. What about that one? Hey, there's a whole team from Harrisonville that comes. We better get a hold of Harrisonville. I literally make a list of all these things and jot them all down. And then I'm like, our day sessions sometimes are good, sometimes they're bad. Can we make our day sessions better? You know, it's so good that people would want to take off work to come because it would be a blessing for them. That usually don't happen. And people could, they just don't because they're not sure what they're going to get. That's on me. So I write that down. I write all these things down. And then you know what I do? Then I take it a step further and I open up a calendar. And I'm like, well, I can't ask Brian Clark from London, England to come 2 weeks ahead of time. So I put down on there, I was like, you know what? I need to get a hold of Brian in January. And I write January, I'm going to talk to Brian. Well, and I did. In January, I looked at my calendar. On that day, it popped up, said, hey, get a hold of Brian Clark. So I did. Brian said, hey, we're still in lockdown. Basically, I can't do this if I'm going to come back and spend 14 days. And I was like, okay, I'll call you in 30. On my calendar, 30 days later, I wrote it down to get a hold of him. 30 days came, I got a hold of Brian. He goes, we're still in bad shape. The latest is Brian just says, hey, Mike, they're hoping in June to make a decision how this is going to look for us. I should be able to answer by the end of the June. And I said, well, here's what we're going to do. Then the last day of June, Brian, I'm going to put down, if you can't commit, then we can change our plans and move on. But, you know, I'm doing all that. You know what that is? I'm just setting a time. I just set a time. I've already talked to some people about the, but I put dates and times on everything. And so it just seems weird because it's not natural for me to do this, but I have to do it. And I think we see it in here. I mean, the king's like, dude, if this is, God really laid this on your heart, then you know what you do? You better schedule this thing down. So many people say they want to be different and they never end up being very different. Well, you've got to be intentional. And that's what I wanted to say about time is if you really know your purpose, then you can sit back and some of you just say, man, I remember, you know, God, and you got to have a system. And listen, I'm going to just throw this out too. This is super opinionated. This is my opinion. This is not in God's word. This is my opinion. You know what ruined me on planning and goal setting? The internet. My phone. My tablet. Social media. All of them are tools and you would think they would help me. Well, guys, anybody that knows me would say he's got ADHD. Okay, and I do. So when I open my phone, man, I'm just like, yes. You know, I can do three or four things at one time, get this, then an email comes and I got to answer a text. And before you know it, I better get back to the calendar. Like, and I couldn't see some big view of the calendar. And you know what? I just thought, okay, skip it. I'm just not going to be the cool guy. And I got out paper. And I looked at the calendar. And I planned the year. And then I looked down, I planned the months. And then I get down, I planned the weeks. Then I look down and I plan every morning. It's the first thing I do. It is. Now, it's always been, and I've had good moments and bad moments at it, but I literally open up and right away it's my high priority is you better get in God's word. It's the first thing on there, and I'm just like, yep, not that I need reminded. I've done it for years, and I make it a priority, and I put it in prayer. What about prayer? I used to have a prayer list. Then I thought, oh, I'll do it digitally, you know, and I tried to do all that and tried to be fancy. It just, guys, it don't work for me, and some of you, it works for you. Here's the deal. You know what you do? Just make it work. Set a time. I don't care what works for you. Some of you are busier than others. Some of you run your own business, which puts you in a little deeper. Some of you are in charge of people. All that puts you in a little more, which is more reason for you to do it in Nehemiah when he was going to put a group of people together and go back and build a wall. You just don't walk in and say, I'm building a wall. You know, no, he was set with the king. There was some resources there and provisions. So he talked with them, used what was around him. And then when he did, he knew his real purpose. And then I just wanted you to point out, he set a time. Would you set a time? And some, and like I would say things. When's the last time you've taken your wife out to dinner? That's a hard question to ask anymore. Because the way we live our life is like, well, we went through McDonald's drive-thru on Tuesday night. We had ball practice on Wednesday, so we had to slip over. You know, that all happened. So you're always taking her out, right? No, I'm talking about no children, you and her face-to-face. Guys, I'm horrible. I'm speaking here like, geez. But you know what you got to do? Get it in the calendar. That's what you do. Some of you, God's laid things on your heart to do even for ministry. And because you never write it down, you know what's going to happen? The wind's going to take it away. It'll be gone one day, and you'll sit back and say, man. So like right now, if God lays something on your heart, you're in this message, I'm preaching this, and you're just like, I knew I was supposed to write that guy a letter or at least send him a text, and I never did it. He should be here at church this morning. Stop right now. I don't care. Open your phone up. Open your calendar. Grab a piece of paper. Do something, and just you jot that down. And maybe you don't want to do it today, and then you put it tomorrow morning. At 9:30, set an alarm, and when it goes over, it's just going to be like, hey, right now, stop and text him. And it's done. If you'll live your life that way, you'll find yourself, too, living at peace. You're not so scattered. You're not so crazy. You got to have these type of things. And I, like I said, I'm not the best at it. That's, I think, why I do it. Somebody would say, I'm not sure Mike's a great planner. And that's why I went back to paper, because it's something I can afford not to be decent at or to get better at. So anyways, that's it. That's practical class, motivational class. Is Zig Ziglar in the house? No, just kidding. So in Nehemiah chapter 2, we see that the king asks these questions, the why. Hey, what's your why this morning? Why are you doing what you're doing? If you don't know that, that's why you're miserable at your workplace. That's exactly why. You're not living with the purpose, because all the money in the world don't cover that up. You know how many wealthy people are out there? That's why all, you know why rock and roll stars and movie stars, why do they all end up in rehab? Because of the why. They're lacking a great purpose in their life. You know, and some of them don't. You'll see some of them be very successful, and I think they know the why. And then we talked a little bit about time, so let's keep reading here. The king and the dialogue ends like in verse 8, right? It says they ended up sending a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's force, that he may give me timber for the beams, right? And then it says at the end of verse 8, the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. So I like this. The king granted him what? Leave. An absence of leave, and the king granted him a letter to go get lumber and the things he needed from other places that he was going to pass through and other cities around the city of God. And he says, according to the good hand of my God upon me. I just want to put that out, because it wasn't like the king was a good man. Man, the king granted me because he's an awesome king. You know what Nehemiah said? The king granted me because my God's awesome. That's why. He prayed. He prayed in chapter 1, and then even going here when the king's like, hey man, why is your countenance sad, this and that, and all of a sudden the king goes, okay, what do you want? And the first thing Nehemiah did is he did the insta prayer. He prayed to his God and said, oh God, give me wisdom here. It's on. It's on. Do you know if you ask most people what they want, they don't know? If you ask them that randomly, just what would make you happy? And people are like, seriously. Okay. If you could have two things right now that would make your life totally happy and at peace, like, I mean, what would it be? And of course, you know, selfishly, we immediately always just think the $1 million mark comes up, you know? But no, really, what could it be? And I think I told the story before. I had a guy that I knew a great man of God. He was a missionary, and he used to do he'd to people just say, hey, man, if there's one thing in your life right now you could have to make you happy, what would it be? And most people never had an answer for that. And so he'd begin to talk to them about it. You know, everybody wants peace. They want happiness in their life, and you don't know what would make you happy? I know what would make you happy. And then he'd take them to God's word and say, no, I didn't make this up. And the God of the universe, the creator that allowed you to be born, he said there was something greater for you. And he would use this, but he tells a story one time. He went to a park and he goes, there's two teenage girls just hanging out, you know, doing their thing. And he walks up and he goes, hey, ladies, just want to ask you something. If you could have anything right now to make you happy, what would it be? And one girl without hesitation said, a cold Dr. Pepper. He said, I'll be right back. And he left. 10 minutes later, showed back up with two Dr. Peppers and said, hey, girls. And then he told them about Jesus Christ. He said, this Dr. Pepper is going to be gone in 10 minutes. Will you be happy then? And so he used that. And so anyways, I love knowing the purpose, having the why, and then it'll help us with our time. It'll help you, you know how to handle this thing. And the beautiful part about all this is Nehemiah prayed, God granted him, he gave God credit. Now he's on, look at verse 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the river. I came to the governors. And gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. Guys, the next verse, he was on the journey. Like, so I guess I want you to know all the planning, writing, and scheduling in the world. If you don't move your feet, you'll be in the same spot you was. I think a lot of people struggle with that. It's the action. So if the first word today we talked about it is, let's know our purpose. Why were you created? Some of you, what's your degree in? Somebody's like, I didn't go to college. I don't care. You don't have to go to college to do this. What's in your heart? What drives you crazy? What makes you mad? What really thrills your heart? These are things that we're all a little bit different on. And maybe that's the area. That's the area God wants to use you and give you a divine purpose. And some people, you'll be at the very end of your life. And some of you have had so many struggles when you were little. You know the best thing to do for an addict? The best thing you can do. I mean, they got to get real fulfillment in their heart. Is, man, if you can get them assisting and helping other addicts in life, it's the greatest buzz they ever. You watch them, you're just like, there's no greater high than this. Because I struggled so bad in my life, and that I get a part of helping other people. You know, hey, did you get pregnant early? That happens. You know, and you remember being a young girl, a young woman struggling with that. You know, well, now that you're saved, what's your great divine purpose? You better figure it out. The Bible's clear on the purpose, but what's your little niche in that purpose? And if you can figure out your why, you'll be lit up and you'll find yourself. And it don't mean you'll be rich. You might be broke. You know, I think a lot of people do that. I'm just a guy that when I look at scripture for Christians, to just say that you have a career, you know what I say that is? That's what it is. Everybody has it, right? That's going to be your career. What's your calling? What's God called you to do? See, that's a real purpose, a real why. And a lot of people just say, well, I think I'll do this just because, you know, this industry is just always going to be around. And honestly, I could make a great living there. Hey, good. I mean, have at it. You'll be the person one day that's why people that know the why and live with a purpose, when midlife hits, then people usually don't have a major crisis. Some people fall to pieces in midlife. And you know why they do? They don't know their why. They don't know what in the world. What's the point? You know, whether poor or rich, that's kind of irrelevant too. But what I want to point out in verse 9 is the next P word is the word parting. There has to be a parting or a moving or a going. And that's exactly what happened here. So in verse 9, then I came to the governors beyond the river. Yeah, he moved right from the king, making his prayers, got the letter, and he was out. So I want to preach on action. What is it that God has told you to do? You know, faith without works it's dead. Our faith needs some works. And if you don't leave church today with some action in mind, then man, what was the point? What was the point? I mean, you should leave with some action, right? There's a philanthropist, John Shedd. He said this years ago. He said, you know, a ship in harbor is safe. But that's not what ships are built for. Let's get out of the harbor. Let's move. And some of you, you know what our church is missing? You. That's what it is. You're peace in part. And some of us would look, and that's why churches, seniority tends to rule. Because a lot of people are intimidated. They don't want to step over here. We don't want to go there. And all of a sudden, people get old. They get tired. And before you know it, a church starts going through death. You start going through this maintenance mode. Yeah, you're just a step away from a funeral, man. But what you need to do is when people have a real purpose, it's time for you to step up. And by the way, I feel this deeply in our church. Because there's people that have been cleaning our church. Listen to me. For 20 plus years, the same people. That's your spot. If right now you're not doing much of nothing, own that. That's a great place to start. Just because it don't take much talent to clean. And some of you disagree with me on that, but you know. And cleaning's not just picking your underwear and socks up off the floor. But we need you. Sunday school teachers, there's people that are just burnt out. I've done this for 15 years. We had somebody recently quit being a teacher, and I remember they said that. And they said, well, I've been doing this for X amount of years. And I remember me and my wife talking. She goes, I got double the years on them. Double. Now, the only reason she's out is because, of course, Josephine. So, you know, guess what? The clock's moving, isn't it? Time's changing. What's going to happen? You know, we got to get busy. It's going to require some action. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is 1 Samuel 14. It's Jonathan and his armor bearer. Do you remember? You know, Israel sitting back hiding. They're casually doing their thing. And Jonathan just got sick of not doing anything. And he looks at his armor bearer and says, hey, let's go up and whip a few guys. Let's get into a fight tonight. It's been a long time since we fought, hasn't it? And so he grabs his armor bearer and they go up in between these sharp rocks and they go up and they kill a few people. And it got the whole nation fired up and then the war was on. It happened. It was a good thing. But the reason I like that is there's a lot of people, you know, they've worked the why thing. They know. They've even looked at their, you know, by the way, that's another thing why I went to paper on my scheduling. Because, you know, on my digital calendar, if I didn't get something done today, I just open up tomorrow's day and it's there. And some people say, isn't that awesome? Well, it wasn't awesome for me. Because when I have paper and every day I start the day off going, I didn't get those three things done. I'll forward that to the next day. And then I write it on today's. I didn't get it done that day and it compounds. And all of a sudden there's a day where I look back and I've got to write that and force it in. I'm just like, I'm in trouble here, ain't I? You're in trouble unless you buckle down and get that done. If them don't, some of these things don't meet my why, then cross it off. Dude, you don't have to do that. But other things, get busy. It was good for me to force it over and all of a sudden, I'm writing it over. That's painful. It was painful for me. It worked. That's why I do that. So I want you to know it says here in verse 9, then I came to the governor beyond the river. He got busy. Get busy. Get busy. Then it says, and then he gave the king's letters. Now the king, watch this. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. What? Yeah, captains of the army and the horsemen with me. Hey, note this down. If we're talking P words, this ain't, the point is the parting. But in the parting, I want you to know, if you part and do exactly what God's told you to do, the provisions will be there. So I want you to know, Nehemiah never asked for these things. He literally wanted the king granted permission to take a leave of absence. And then he wanted a letter so that he could get things from other cities and other governors, right? And so it says, now the king, at end of verse 9, now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. Captains of the army and horsemen with me? I mean, this ain't no joke, is it? I'll tell you what, nobody provides like my God. Nobody. He's our God. And so the king sent captains of the army and horsemen with him. This is why Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 9, what's he tell the disciples? He says, hey guys, I need you to do something. You're going to go on a mission. He goes, and I don't want you to take a script. I don't want you to take nothing with you. I don't want to take any money. Don't take an extra. He just says all these things. Do take nothing for your journey. And the whole point of that was this. Because if you do what I want you to do, I will provide for you. I will take care of you. And you guys need to see that. You need to experience that. Now, some people that would do all the planning and organizing and put it all together, this would have been very hard for them when Jesus said, you need to leave that behind. Because I'm going to prove to you that I will provide what you need along the way on this journey, right? Hey, if you're quick in your Bible, go to Ephesians 3:20. Or Jordan could turn that there for us and we could go, huh? Ephesians 3:20. I love this verse. Are you ready for it? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Wow. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What? Yeah. He's able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. This is our God. That's why Nehemiah's learning this. That's a big task for just some wine sipper, right? You know, some cupbearer in the palace. And now I'm going to go run a construction site. I'm going to run a massive construction site back at my home. But God's going to provide. And he does. And I just simply, by providing these captains of the army and horsemen with him, this to me is a kiss from God saying, dude, I have got you covered. So I want you to know that, something me and my wife struggled with for years, doing what God wanted us to do, because I always said, there ain't no money in it. I don't want to be poor, man. What if I work overtime this week? Well, on the construction site, they at least gave me extra bucks. Well, then the government took the extra bucks. It was hard. Like, what do I do here? There's no option. So it was very hard for me to make the decision to go into ministry. And it's because I just struggled trusting God's provision. And I can testify this morning, it's not been exactly like I wanted it to be or how I'd even planned it, but we have never been forsaken. Ever. Ever. In our darkest hour, in our greatest need, he showed up every time. Man, I got to point out something here, because this is something that we struggle with a little bit, I think, in life. But if you really know your purpose, and you're willing to part and do what God wants you to do, I believe this with all my heart. And here's the principle I'm going to give you. There's three verses. The first one's going to be found in Ecclesiastes 2:26. So go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Go to Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Middle of your Bible, Psalms, then Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 26. Love this verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 26 says this: for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. God will take the sinner, and in the midst of their travail, they'll gather, they'll heap up, only so that he can give it to him that's going to do good before God. Do you see that? Sinners get to heap up to give to righteous people. This is just a cupbearer in the king, and all of a sudden the king's like, hey, not just a little army here. Take the captains of the armies. That's who I want you to take with you. I want you to take some horsemen with. He didn't even ask for that. This is just how God provides. Guys, sometimes do you realize it's the very company you work for? They might be doing well, and you know why they're doing well? Just for righteous people. For righteous people, because they're supporting your family and your family supports God's work. God's going to allow a whole company to do well sometimes for you. You ever wonder that? All of a sudden Egypt's, you know, doing their thing. There ends up being a famine in the land. God puts Joseph over in Egypt land and he just gives some silly advice. Like silly. The king's like, what do we need to do here? You know, and he says, well, I think we need to save up for 7 years so that we can provide for the next 7 years of famine. That's what I think. And they're like, that's a genius idea. And you're like, okay, that wasn't a crazy idea, but it was Joseph. God used him. And you know, God allowed Egypt to heap up to feed God's people, Israel. So you see this principle in the Bible. Proverbs 13:22 says there's wealth for a sinner, but it's all laid up for the just. Isn't that beautiful? God will allow. You know, and sometimes we sit back and in jealousy, like envy, look back and just say, why are they doing so good? Look at that, man. I wish I had their kind of money. Oh, that is your money. That's God's. God's going to use that. Guys, I know missionaries all over the world. There's one guy that's actually in Africa right now. And I know of him. I've talked to him, but never been face to face with him. I'd like to get him in here in November so you guys can meet him. You know what he does? He's over and he's leading people to Christ. He's planting churches all through the bush of Africa. But he's going in, and one day he goes in there, and they're like, man, people are dying like crazy. Well, their source of water was really bad. And he's like, well, you need a well. Well, it was deeper down. So he ended up getting some equipment in, knew some business guys, had it come in. So he dug a well, and people went crazy. There were other people from villages coming forever. So he's like, man, this is a big deal. Let's get some equipment to do some well digging, you know. Well, there's a lot of people. If you just said, hey, I'm looking for some funding because I'm going to go over to Africa and to plant churches. Well, if a guy don't go to church, he's going to be like, oh, have fun with that. I don't care if the guy's a billionaire. He's going to say, yeah, good luck with that. That sounds like a venture for you. But all of a sudden you go and just say, hey, guys, these people are dying. Like their water's contaminated. We need to get some water a little bit deeper. We're going to dig some wells and actually maybe even because of that plant some schools to help better education. All of a sudden you got a guy who, you know, he pays a lot of taxes a year. He's just like, man, I wouldn't mind digging wells around the world for people. I could really make a difference. See, he don't see things like you and me see him, but he'll lay down his bucks or she'll lay down her bucks to see something like that go forth. So there's a lot of work around the world that is totally supported by people that are not even Christians. You know why? Because God told them that's why. That's why. God set it in place. Proverbs 28 and verse 8 says, the unjust people gain and they increase in substance. Why? To gather it up for him that will pity the poor. That's why God has that happen. So be careful what we say. Sometimes you look at people or a company or something that might be wealthy. You might look at them and through your eyes of envy and go, psh, them people, they don't give a care. Look at them just wasting all their money. Hey, be careful here. Because that says here, they're going to gather. Why? They're going to end up giving to him that pities the poor. They might not pity the poor, but if you pity the poor, it might be their bucks that take you to the poor. You see how that works? It's just a bigger mentality. You know, that's all it is. Everybody has their piece in place. And I guess I just wanted to say, as he was parting, and the king's like, hey, I want you to take some captains of my army and some horsemen with you. And that's pretty valuable. Yeah, God provides. That's why I had a friend that needed a car. They were praying for a car, him and his wife, and they couldn't afford much. And they actually had a very wealthy relative. And when I say very wealthy relative, like this guy, you know, was the head dude at Hallmark Cards. Everywhere he went, he ended up being like the top dog, the CEO. And he's, you know, of the Hershey's company, all that type of, it was crazy. And this guy literally called up one day and just said, hey, dude, we had another kid and my wife's going to bump up in vehicles. So it's not a very nice car, but it's a Honda Civic and it only has 10,000 miles on it. We just wanted to give it to you guys. And you know what my buddy did? He's a pastor. And my buddy just said, we can't take that. That's like a huge gift. He goes, no, we just want to give it to you. He goes, no. He goes, I'll pay you something for it. He said, no. We done decided that we wanted to give it away. He said, but no, that's cool. If you really feel that way, that's fine. He said that, you know, see you at Christmas, and hung up the phone. And you know what my buddy said? At that moment, I realized I'm a fool. I'm a fool. God has blessed him to bless us. We're doing God's work, and I'm a fool. You know, you'd think, now me, I'd have called right back and just said, hey. But he didn't. He let it go. And did you know, it was like 4 years later, it happened again. God's good, and God provides. So don't ever forget that. You know, and not that I don't want to promote being takers. You know, we got to watch that too, you know. Hey, work your tail off. Nehemiah was going whether he had these horsemen or captains or not, but God said, I think you need them. So he put it on the king's heart to give it. So just remember that. Sometimes when organizations get successful, it's really just so God's work can go forth and God's people can continue. So you see the great purpose, and now we see a great parting. And now we're going to move to another verse. Look at verse 10 in Nehemiah 2:10. It says this, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So there's two guys that hear word of this. Nehemiah's coming back to take care of these people.
He's concerned about the welfare of the people of the nation of Israel. I mean, Persia is dominating here. What do you mean? At least they're not under Babylon anymore. They're like put out by this thing. They're like, man, there's a man. It says they were grieved. You know, that word grieved in the Bible could mean, it could be as strong as somebody trembling. But it caused them sorrow that somebody wouldn't care for the people of the nation. You know, people don't like the nation of Israel, by the way. They never have and they never will. And let me tell you why. They're God's nation. They're God's people. They are. And they've always had trouble all through history. And that's the reason why. So I guess to have a real purpose in life, and if you're going to part and do something about it and allow God to provide for you, this next P word, just mark this one down. Because you can always tell if you're going to do something for God because you're going to have some difficulty. So if God placed something in your heart and you know a why and you're going to go get about this business, then you'll know it's of God if people want to poo-poo on it. There's two P words. Seriously, people will pound on you, man. That's what they'll do. And you're going to watch these people come up again. We're going to talk about these folks. Even at the end of the chapter, they come. So that's one reason. Guys, are we not in spiritual warfare? If you're going to, anything that's worth doing, anything good, you're going to have friction. You realize if you say, you know what we're going to do? On this set of downs, we're going to score a touchdown. There's a whole group of people and a whole other team says, oh, no, you're not. And all of a sudden, you got a great cause, don't you? So the Bible says that we are, in Ephesians 6, it says there's a spiritual battle taking place. And he says, this is why we have the armor of God. Why? Listen, guys, doing what God wants you to do is dangerous. It's dangerous. Oh, he's going to provide for you. And they even give him some assistance with captains and horsemen. Like, this could get dangerous. Take some captains of my armies. What? God provides, don't he? God really provides. I could tell you stories behind the scenes of God taking care of me, providing for me, using other people and things that were said that I didn't even know of. That God was just loving me and protecting me. So if somebody is going to pound on you, just remember that. It's kind of like, you know, you've got a good cause when people, you know, you come forward and you got this great idea. God wants to do this. And unfortunately, when people want to poo-poo on you, immediately people are just like, man, I'm discouraged. That should mean I'm alive. This is probably going to be worthwhile because I'm getting friction right away from it. You're going to make a difference. And so Nehemiah goes, and you think, man, I got all this provision. I'm ready to go. And as soon as he gets there, there's a couple guys that they're grieved. They're like, who in the world would even want to, they're taking care for, want to know about the nation of Israel? So it says in verse 11, so I came to Jerusalem and was there. How many days? 3 days. 3 days. And then what's verse 12 say? And I arose. What's going on here? We see a great resurrection. Jesus Christ. The Bible says that this is the gospel, you know. He was crucified and he was buried. In 3 days, he lay still. And then he came up out of the grave, didn't he? And shocked the world. So here Nehemiah goes there and he just says, I was there 3 days. But verse 12 says, there was a great resurrection. There was great life. It's a beautiful picture for you and me. And that's, by the way, the 3 days and then a resurrection, them walls would still be down. Nothing would have ever got done. And so I think too, God for you and me is going to say, don't ever forget this. Our victory is what Christ won for us. He took the impossible and took our sin. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is why we can claim any victory at all. I mean, yes, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. It's because of this great resurrection. And I want you to know Jesus rose from the grave so that you will rise from the grave. Right? He came back to life now seated on heaven. Well, you're going to experience the same thing. When you die, the Bible says you will definitely live again. But practically here on planet Earth, Paul even speaks of, I die to myself. Yeah, he goes, you imagine leaving, sitting in Jerusalem. He's looking at everything tore up. And it says he goes on a journey through the city and looks at the dragon well. And he goes to all these gates and it's terrible and burn up. After seeing the devastation, my guess is there would come some serious amount of doubt. Like, this task almost seems impossible. Well, you know what we do? When the task seems impossible, we say, it probably is. Maybe I'm thinking ridiculous. Or, as a woman of God, you would just say, this is like impossible. And that's what our God specializes in. That's where he comes to play. You know, a lot of people will give credit for losing 30 pounds and say, man, I just want to thank Jesus, man, for that. Well, you worked hard too. And, you know, there's people that lose 30 pounds that don't even know Jesus. And I get it. I'm thankful you got in the Word and talked to him and you decided, you know, you want to lose that weight. That's great. But very few people live into a spot where you just say, here's what God laid on my heart to do. And you're just a cupbearer and you're going to lead a whole, you're going to lead a whole construction project to build the walls? Like to make this nation a legit nation again? He's like, yep, that's what God laid on my heart. No wonder Tobiah and them are like, what a joke that you would even do this. And then there's other people that are sitting back and then he sees the devastation of, I'm sure he's doubting himself. But I'll tell you, 3 days he sat there and then he arose. There was a great resurrection. Guys, I want you to know, if you're going to know him and the power of his resurrection, it's going to hurt so good. You never experience the resurrection without a death. So I want you to know that some of you right now are in some dark days. Them days are going to be few. Light's coming. There's hope for you, right? It's like Jesus Christ. Remember the old preacher on Easter Sunday? It's Friday, but Sunday's a coming. Oh, it's Friday and he's in the tomb. All the hounds of hell are laughing, but Sunday's a coming. You ever heard that? It's beautiful, man. Go look that up on the internet sometimes. It'll fire you up. And I want you to know, as he sat here 3 days, it says he arose. He got up and says, my gosh, God has put something in my heart and he's going to see it through. So, you know, the P here word for with this, he showed up. He was present. That's your P word. Remember that P word, present. You better be present. You're going to rise up from the grave. You're present. And may it shock the world. I can't believe he's not. Guys, I'm telling you, I had a guy that left our church years ago, and he left the church because he said, Mike's a knucklehead. Well, it's hard when you can't deny it. He came back years later. When he came in, he walked up to him, and he dropped tears. Because he just surely thought I was such a knucklehead that the thing would fold up. But what do you do? And he comes in, and I'm still present. And it's because I resurrected. You don't resurrect it on your own power and ability. God placed something in my heart years ago to plant a church that would multiply itself and that would reproduce. I'm going to be honest. I'm not happy with where it's at right now. But I still am not going to deny what God has done and placed in my heart. And all of them, let all of them say that. There's literally, guys, I could tell you stories. This would be nice. Since this is getting recorded and put on the internet, there might be people that'll check into this from other churches. We got leaders in other churches in town. You know, they left our church. And then, you know why they left? They usually say, Mike's a knucklehead. And everybody else just says, yeah, he's our knucklehead pastor. Yeah, he is. We're following Christ. We're following the Word. And what I love about it is I'm just like, hey, dude, I'm glad you're a leader, but this is your third church. How do you feel about yourself? And I'll tell you, I hope one thing's for sure. I hope if God's called and placed something in your heart, I hope people just see that, man, she is present, man. She is present. She's there. She's resurrected. She's there. He is there. That's what people need to see, the resurrection in us. I'm going to end on this one because there's so much good stuff in here. Verse 12 says, I rose in the night and some few men with me, neither told I any man with what God had put on my heart to do at Jerusalem. This is a good one. I'm going to deal with this later where he says this, what God put in my heart. But he didn't tell anybody. And neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. I went out, watch this, and I went out by night. It says in verse 12, it starts and said, I arose in the night. Verse 13, and I went out by night. If you get down to verse 15, he says, then I went up in the night. I guess I want to leave you with this last P word, and it don't really complete this. I got to complete this chapter, but you know, when we're going to do God's work, when you're going to take a shining light into places, you know, it'd be like right now, if you see me walk through this door right here, and I'm walking over with a candle to you, like, that's a pretty bright light. If you don't think so, just look into it. It's bright, man. These are bright lights up in here. Technology is just incredible. You know, how many lumens is that? You know, is that candle light? You know, how do you describe and define that? Well, I walk in here with the candle. You're going to be like, huh, does it stink in here? That candle better smell good. because it's not really providing any source of light for people, right? But if you shut the lights off, if you shut the lights off and somebody walks in with a candle, you're going to be like, wow. And that's why people love doing candlelight services, because in the pitch darkness, you know, then you light and you hand it to somebody else and you light one. Then all of a sudden the room illuminates. It's just a beautiful experience if you've ever been a part of something like that. So let me tell you something. Real work, real gospel work, real God work, it's done in the pitch of the dark, man. It's done at night. The night. That's the church age. It's where we live today. And guys, I'm here. You look last year at what happened. Just look racially, look politically, look just even socially. I mean, all the stuff, the pandemic, you just start viewing all this stuff of this and you're just like, wow, I just can't believe this is America. I can't believe it. And guys, I'm 50. And some of you, if you're younger, might not see that, but man, I just remember. I remember like when there was real pride in the country and, you know, somebody, I remember people would have a torn up flag outside. I remember if it was raining and a business would have their flag out, people would knock on the door and say, hey, get that flag out of the rain. And people are like, oh my gosh, we forgot. We're sorry. There was just some real patriotism, you know, and well, those days are gone. And so I want you to know, as you look at it, we can sit back and be depressed and be like, oh my gosh, it's going crazy. Life is bad. It's going to get uglier. You know, and everybody wants to say this. And have you been to the gas pump lately? And well, let me tell you what. It's getting dark out there. This is when we do our best work. We've got to do it. But you know what we do? We get quiet. What are they going to think of us? We've literally allowed culture to so dominate the gospel light. And I got news for you. Darkness can never comprehend light. The light always dominates the darkness. We've got that. So I love this. He arose in the night. He went out by night. He went up in the night. It mentions three different times. And so we shine light in darkness. This is what we do. Let me give you a few P words and we'll leave. You ready? Do you know your purpose? Because the king said, what's your purpose? Why are you crying? What's going on here? Why are you sad? And he was able to tell and describe this. And then he asked him some other questions too, but it started with why. I would just ask you that, to ask yourself that same question. What's your purpose? And based upon this, we see he knew his purpose and there was a parting, or there has to be a going. And you know, a parting, you have to leave with what's familiar too. Every time in the Bible, some of you would say, well, I feel like I'm so willing to do it. Well, what you're not willing to do is part with your comfort. It's called turning in your 2-week notice. That would be foolish. That's not good stewardship. You're right. Lean onto your own understanding and you'll find yourself at the end of your life going, I never lived my why. I never lived the purpose, the great purpose God's called me to do. So there was a parting. So there's your second P word, parting. And then we looked at the word provision, which wasn't really my main. That provision was under the parting. If you'll part for God, he'll provide for you. The third one, though, is something you can always tell when you're doing something for God, is you will be poo-pooed on, you know. And I want to use a better word that's a little more effective, but it didn't start with the P. But literally, people just going to mess your life up. They want to. When people don't know their why, you know what they'll do? What do mediocre people do? They poo on high achievers. That's what they do. It's exactly what they do. Right? And what it's time is us to switch that. You know what high achievers need to do? Poo-poo on them. I'm living my purpose. It don't matter, right? And then the last one is to be present, to resurrect. 3 days. You've sat long enough. It's time. It's time to arise. And then remember, the good work is done in the pitch black of the night. It's dark out there. So guys, what a great purpose. What a great book for us to be in right now, because culture and society are just looking a little rough. So I just want you to know your place of business, your neighborhood, this county, the next county over, this state, this nation, this world needs you. It needs you. And we shine brightest at times like this. You know, and you look in history, little guys like Napoleon, when there was no war, you know what he says? I have no purpose. And you read everything about, you don't have to like the guy, but my gosh, he could get things done, couldn't he? He said, yeah, I was made for war. This is what I do. And me and you need to know this purpose too, and just be this confident. So, and you can just say, and you know what's crazy about, don't you love it? We loved Brian Calloway when he came because he's getting ready to go to Zambia and plant all these churches. And he just said, I'm Brian Calloway and I'm just a painter. I'm Nehemiah. I'm the king's cupbearer. And now what? You're going to be a construction foreman? Oh, no, that's just part of it. He was going to build a nation. He was going to affect a whole nation. You know the story of the two bricklayers, right? They were building a new cathedral in Rome, and one bricklayer's over there laying bricks, and they're just like, hey, what are you doing? What's his answer? Laying bricks. Building a wall. It's what I do. I'm like, oh, it's real motivating, isn't it? Go over to the other side, and the other guy's got some music on. He's slapping them up, man. They're like, hey, what are you doing? He goes, what do you mean, what am I doing? I'm building a great cathedral, man. That's what I'm doing. There's a difference between these two guys. And let me tell you what the difference was. It was the purpose. They could see and they had some vision and they knew the why. Let's get busy, church. Let's do it. Let's pray. Everybody bow your head, close your eyes. Hey, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to know the Bible says we need him. All of us, we're all born in sin. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world and resurrected. 1 Corinthians 15 says that he died, buried, and resurrected. He took your sin, and he wants you to know him today and receive him. If you don't know Jesus today, man, let's meet him. Let's talk about this. Let somebody open God's word and show you how to be saved. Take it from the Bible. Don't believe just words coming out of my mouth. Believe God's word. And you need to know Jesus. You need to receive him. He's the redemption. He paid the price for your sin. So if he's willing to pay the price for your sin, then you better know him. Get to know him, right? And so you can meet him today by getting saved. If you want to know more about that afterwards, come up. Let's talk. If you're a lady, come to me. I'll find another lady to meet with you. I want you to get this one settled. Then the next thing would be the rest of us. Hey, Christians, Maple City Baptist Church, we're in the book of Nehemiah for a reason. We're here for a great purpose. And may God stir in our hearts once again. May we see believers in this culture rise up once again. Make a dent. That's what you do. Make the difference. Shine the light. Don't sit around and gripe about the darkness. Keep lighting the light and passing that on. It'll catch, right? God's got some of you out. You're struggling with God's provision. You do what God wants you to do. You're going to experience some friction. People are going to be grieved at what you're doing. Hey, don't be discouraged. But God is going to provide. God is going to take care of you. Absolutely for sure. Because that's what he does, right? Jesus, thanks for your word. It moves us. Lord, we're a people that need moved. So thank you, God. I want to pray for our church today, or even those members here that are struggling with their time. They're not getting things done. They're not accomplishing what they want to with their children. They're not accomplishing what they want to with their spouse. They're not even living out their purpose. God, I pray that give them victory with their calendar this week. May they sit down, and Lord, may they put the pieces together. May they know their why, and may they make their decisions and schedule their day, week, their months around that. So thanks for the practicality today. Your word is amazing. It's powerful. Lord, we love you today. We can only say that because you first loved us. We're learning, and we want to thank you for it. You're a great teacher. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. It's in your name we pray.